Okay, welcome back to Shmuel Aleph. We're learning Perek Chav Beis right at the beginning. And we're not going to finish the whole Perek tonight, but we'll do a chunk of it. And Mirat Hashem, I guess we'll finish it next week. Okay, so Pasuk Aleph, Perek Chav Beis, Pasuk Aleph. Vayelech David Misham Vayimolet El Me'oras Adulam. So David runs, right? He's on the run now. He's running from Shaul. And he runs and he escapes to the cave of Adulam, location of where he's hanging out for the time being. Very interesting. So the pasuk says that his whole family hears. Right, his whole family hears. What do they hear? Presumably, they hear where he is. Right, he's been on the run, so they may not know exactly, you know, where he is at every moment, but they hear that he arrived at this place, Me'oras Adulam, and Vayerdu Elav Shama, and everyone runs to be with him. Now, it's interesting, this is the first time that we find David's family joining him. You know, again, he's running, he's fleeing from Shaul. We know in Perek Chaf Aleph, he had this encounter in Nov with Achimelech, the Kohen, which we're going to talk about at length in this parak, and you know, and all of a sudden his family runs to him. So why does his family run to him? So it says the Mitzudas David and the Malbim. Well, not just that Shaul was after. Exactly, they're afraid that maybe Shaul's going to come after them, right? You know, David's running, so David's in hiding. So who's he going to come? Maybe he's going to come after his family. He's going to come after his family. So they're scared that now Shaul's going to come after his family. So they said, we got to run with David. Right? We got to go with David. So that's what they do. They run to hide out with David. And this way they figured that at least they'll be safe. You know, David, he's a strong warrior. So he'll protect us. We don't know. It doesn't say who told them. Maybe. Well, we don't know. We don't know. Who knows? You know, somebody saw, somebody this, you know. Word spreads very quickly in the community. Pasuk Beis, and this was before WhatsApp, you know. Vayizkabtzu elav kol ish matzok. Now, this is very interesting. Vayizkabtzu elav kol ish matzok. So all of a sudden, not just are his family members coming to be with David, but now we find other people coming to be with David. Number one, kol ish matzok. Anyone who's oppressed, who's persecuted, becholisha asher lo noshe, and everyone who has a noshe. What's a noshe? So some of the mafarshim say noshe, even though here it's spelled with an aleph, but we can read it with as if it's spelled with a hey, which means someone who has a creditor, someone who owes money to other people. You know, those kind of people. You know, you owe money to a lot of people. People are after you. You want to get away. You want to hide. Becholish mar nefesh. And everyone who's tzibrochen, right? People of broken spirits. All these people flock to David. Very interesting, right? I mean, generally speaking, it happens to be that great people very often do attract, you know, these kind of people. They think that maybe they can help them, right? A lot of times you find, you know, yeah, I mean, listen, who's going to Gedolim? Everybody's going to Gedolim for a bracha, but very often you find people like this. People who are marei nefesh, people who are ish matzok. You know, people who are troubled. So they assume David Amelech, he's not the Melech yet, but David will you know, can help them, and also very often the great people have patience for these kind of people. You know, very often the Hamonam, we don't always have patience for people who are you know, persecuted and oppressed and Morei Nefesh and Tzibrochen and things like that. We don't always have patience for them, but great people have patience, so they come. They come to David, and they come to be with him, to ride with him, to run with him. Vayihi aleihem lasar. So David became like an officer over these people. Vayihi imo ke'arba me'osish. About 400, a lot of people. About 400 people gathered with David. The Radak says a lot of these people needed just a change of scenery. No, so you know their lives were not going well, and they needed a change of pace. So David's running. You know, they know David is a great person. People probably have an inkling that he's destined for greatness. And they say, you know what? Let's go with him. we'll attach ourselves to him, we'll go with him, we'll run with him, we'll fight with him if it comes to that. You know, we'll hang out with him. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not just one cave, but maybe it was a series of caves, or maybe it could be it was a location that was known by the certain cave, but maybe there were other areas.
Maybe it was just a group on the city, and it had
yeah. Minutes. Right, yeah, probably it wasn't 400 people in the same cave. So Noshe, many of the Mefarshim say, means he had a creditor. He had someone who lent him money. Right? Noshe, in Hebrew, with a hey, that's what it means. You find that in the Torah. But some of the Mefarshim understand that you could understand it that way also. No, they didn't owe David money. They owed other people money. So they wanted to run away because people were hacking them and chining for the money. The Malbim says that, of course, you know, the Malbim, of course, is the gadol of finding the nuances and the differences between different words and expressions that seem similar to us. So the Malbim says that Ish Matzok refers to someone who's experiencing inner turmoil, inner stress. And Asher Lo Noshe, he doesn't understand it like the other Mefarshim. Other Mefarshim understand that it's someone who has a creditor. He says, no, Asher Lo Noshe refers to any type of external stress. So Matzok refers to internal stress or turmoil. Noshe refers to external stress or turmoil. They both had to run, these people. Why? Because they wanted relief from their stress. And again, Mashan and Mako, Mashan and Mazel, sometimes you need a change of scenery. So they ran to get a change of scenery. What's Mecholish Mar Nefesh? What's Mar Nefesh? So he says, interestingly, so I translated it before as Tzibrochen, people that are... you know, that are kind of a broken spirited. So the Malbim says, no, Mar Nefesh means angry. These were angry people who had like, you know, who had tempers, and they had a lot of kas, a lot of anger built up inside of them. So why did they go with David? The first people went with David because they wanted to change the scenery. These people went with David because they wanted a fight. They were looking for a fight. They were looking for a way to get out their aggression. So they said, oh, David, he's running from the king. You know, there's probably going to be some good fights there. You know, it's like, you know the chevra, they're always looking for a good fight. You know, so that was the Marei Nefesh. Okay. Pasuk Gimel. Yeah, right? Pasuk Gimel. Vayelech David Misham, Mitzpeh Moav. Very interesting. So David goes from there, and he goes to Moav. He goes to Moav. Again, he's moving, he's on the run, he doesn't want to stay in one place too long. Vayomer El Melech Moav, and he says to the king of Moav, Yetzei na'avi v'imi itchem arasher eida mayase li elokim. He says, do me a favor. Would you mind if my mother and father, and the Mefarshim understand, it's not just his mother and father, but his family. He's referring to his mother and father. They're the main player, so to speak, in the family. So he said, do you mind if they stay with you until I know what's going on, until I know what God has in store for me? Yeah. Right.
Is there any kind of
I don't know. I mean, we don't. Moav has its history with the Bnei Yisrael, and we'll see that he's not going to remain so friendly. But yeah, but he was just there. You know, he probably doesn't want to go back there because it's. You know, I mean, we'll see. Shaul's on his trail. You know, like we're going to see in a minute. Shaul's on the trail, so he's not. He wants to keep moving. And he kind of wants to find a safe place for his family. You know, he figures, what, am I father and mother going to schlep with me everywhere? Well, yeah. It seems maybe we'll see. Yeah, correct. You're right. The pasuk only says mother and father, but we'll see that it's not so simple. Okay. And the Metzudas David says that, listen, as soon as I find a place to live safely, I'll call them. You know, but right now I'm on the run. I don't want them to run with me. So can they stay with you? Let them be safe with you. I'm on the run. I'll find a safe place. And as soon as I find a safe place, then I'll call them and I'll bring them. The Malbim also says here that we'll see in a second that David ends up staying in this Mitsuda, which is like some sort of a fortress. But it was a place that could get very dangerous in battle. You know, that's the type of place that people would attack. He didn't want his mother and father to be in the middle of a battle. You know, if he ends up in the middle of a battle, okay, so he'll fight. But he doesn't want them to be there. So he wants them, he brings them to this, to the royal city, to where the Melech Moav is. Hopefully they'll be safe there. Pasuk Dalid, Vayanchem es Pnei Melech Moav. So the Mefarshim understand Vayanchem means that he brings them before the king of Moav. Vayeshvu imo kol yemei hayos David b'metzuda. And they stay with him as long as David is in this place, as long as David is in the Metzuda, they stay with with the Melech Moav. Now, Rashi points out here that the end of the pasuk is very specific. They only stayed here as long as David was in the Metzuda. However, we're going to see in a minute that David leaves the Metzuda, next pasuk actually, and he goes to a nearby forest. As soon, says Rashi, as soon as he leaves that place, the king kills everyone. Melech Moav stabs him in the back. He kills his whole family, with the exception of one brother. Here's where you see that the brothers were still there. With the exception of one brother who was saved by a person by the name of Nachash HaAmoni, Nachash from Ammon. And Nachash HaAmoni saves this one brother. That's it. Everybody else is killed from David's family.
He's a descendant of Moab.
Very good, very good. David's a descendant of Rus, right?
Now all of a sudden the king.
Interesting. Yeah, you're right. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Right, David's a descendant of Rus. Rus is a Moab, is a Moabite, right? So it's like mishpacha. It's his mishpacha. And yet we see the Melech Moab stabs him in the back and kills his entire family, right? Yeah, because this, you know, he became a Jew. You know, once he became a Jew, that's it. Not interested.
Rashi,
it's a medrash. No, I mean, the pasuk does say that they stayed there. They stayed there. Now, the pasuk doesn't say what happens when David leaves the Metzuda, right? So that Rashi's putting in, presumably from a medrash. I'm not sure, but it's interesting. Rashi points out that later in Shmuel Beis, David says that he's going to do a chesed with a fellow by the name of Hanun, the son of Nachash. And he says, I'm doing chesed to this Hanun, the son of Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi, because his father, Nachash HaAmoni, did a chesed with me. What did he do? He saved my brother. Right? So since Nachash HaAmoni saved my brother, I'm going to do a chesed with his son, Hanun, the son of Nachash. We find that later in Shmuel Beis and Perek Yud. So we find that David repays this chesed. Nachash HaAmoni saves his brother, and David later in Shmuel Beis is going to repay this chesed to his son. Okay. Pasuk Hey, Vayomer God Hanavi. Now it's interesting, right? God Hanavi El David. So God Hanavi says to David. Now, was God Hanavi with David? Right? Where does God Hanavi come to? Right?
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. So apparently he was with David, right? That's what it seems like from the pasuk, that he was with David. And he comes and he tells David, Lo sei shev b'metzuda. He says, don't stay here. Don't stay here in Metzuda. Lech uvasa lecha Eretz Yehuda. Go back to Eretz Yehuda. Now keep in mind, he's in Moab, right? And this Metzuda is a place in Moab. He tells him, go back to Eretz Yehuda, which is obviously closer to where Shaul is. Right, but God Hanavi is telling him, this is what Hashem wants you to do. Vayelech David vayavo yar chores. So David goes, he leaves the Metzuda, he goes back to Eretz Yehuda, to this forest called the Yar Chores. And obviously this is a message from Hashem, right? God Hanavi is presenting a message from Hashem, and he's telling him that you'll be safe here, right? I'm not telling you to go here because you're going to be killed. I'm telling you go here and you'll be safe. Why would he be safe there? So the Radak says, because there were people that were sympathetic to David who lived there, right? In this place, in Eretz Yehuda, in Yar Chores, there were people sympathetic to David. So anytime if Shaul was looking for him, the people would tip David off and David would go hide. So he said that you're going to be safe here. You know, go to this place. You'll be safe. the Radak quotes the Medrash that this place, this Yar Chores, the reason why it was called Chores, even though it's spelled with a Suf, but very often the Suf and the Samach can interchange. So it was like pottery. Why? It was very dry. It was a very dry area. It was a drought. There was no rain. And as soon as David came, it started raining. They called it Yar Chores because it was a very dry, arid land. But as soon as David came, it started raining. Gishmei Bracha, in honor of David, that's the nace that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought. That's the allusion of these words, Yar Chares. Pasuk Vav, Vayishma Shaul ki noda David, va'anoshim asher ito. So Shaul hears about what's going on. Okay? Now it's a question in the Mefarshim, what exactly does Shaul hear? The Pasuk just says, ki noda David. That sounds like Shaul hears that David became known. I guess maybe once he got to Yar Chares, so the people of Eretz Yehuda, you know, knew that he was there. Rashi says that that Shaul heard that David was being careful and was protecting himself from Shaul. You know, he was hiding. He was going to Moab. He was coming here. He was hiding from Shaul. So Shaul hears that he's protecting himself, that he's hiding from Shaul. The Radak says that he hears that Shaul gathered. I'm sorry, that Shaul hears that David gathered 400 men. Right, that's what he hears. Anoshim asher ito, he hears that he has 400 men. Now, 400 men, what do you need 400 men for? So Shaul is thinking to himself, why is David gathering 400 men? Obviously, he wants to fight. You don't gather a force of 400 men if you don't want to fight. So Shaul hears this and he thinks, okay, David wants to fight. He wants to take the melucha from me. Where was Shaul at the time? V'shol yoshe v'giva tachas ha'eshel. Shaul was in Giva, right? Giva Shaul, we've spoken about that before. And he was under the tree. Now it says, Tachas ha'esha barama. He was under the tree in Rama. Now where's Rama? Rama, we know Shmuel is from Rama, right? Shmuel haramasi. So is this Rama, is this the same place that Shmuel was from? Is it a different place? Giva Shaul and Rama are two different places. So where is this? So Pashup Shat, the Mefarshim say Pashup Shat here, is that there were two different Ramas, right? Shmuel HaRamasi, he was from one Rama. This was a different Rama that was near Giva Shaul. Excuse me, it was a different Rama. The Malbim says that there was actually Giva and Rama bordered each other, and there was a tree that was right between them on the border, and that's where Shaul was under that tree. That's how the Malbim understands. The Medrash says here that there was something, you know, we're not referring just to geographic places, but we're saying that Shaul was in the Giva, meaning Shaul was king, only because he was under the Eshel of Rama, meaning that it was in the merit of the great strong tree of Rama. Who was the strong tree of Rama? That's a reference to Shmuel. Now, the only reason why Shaul was still the Melech is because Shmuel was davening for him. We find Shmuel was davening for him. We know this goes back to that connection. Exactly. Shmuel davened for him after that deep connection between Shaul and Shmuel, right? Because Shaul was appointed king on Shmuel's watch. Shmuel has an affinity for Shaul. So the Pasuk is hinting to this fact that the only reason why Shaul is still the Melech is because of the tefillos of Shmuel. That's the only reason. Okay. Well, again, according to the Medrash, the tree really is a reference to Shmuel, right? It's a reference to that. Shmuel is that strong tree. That's the reference. According to the Pashup Shat, it's just that's the location. That's where he sat. Achaniso biyado. Pasuk said he had his spear in his hand, right? Shaul's always got that spear in his hand that he's trying to kill David with. The chol avadav nitzavim alav, and all of his servants, all of his soldiers are standing upon him, and they are they're at the ready. Pasuk Zayin, Vayomer Shaul avadav anitzavim alav. So Shaul turns to his servants who are standing there, and he says to them, Shimu na b'nei yamini, listen please, you members of Binyamin. Right now, remember Shaul was from Shevet Binyamin. Mefarshim say that presumably most of his servants, most of his avadim, were also from Shevet Binyamin. Right, you take people, you know, you're mishpacha. You take people from your shevet. So most of his servants were from Shevet Binyamin also. And he says to them, "Gam lekulchem yiten ben Yishai seldo suchramim." What do you think? You think Ben Yishai, right, which is a derogatory way of referring to David. He doesn't even refer to him by his first name, Ben Yishai, right? Like referring to someone by their last name. You think Ben Yishai is going to give you sados and krumim? You think he's going to give you fields and vineyards? Meaning, what's the appeal? He sees all these people are enamored by David, right? 400 men gathered to David. So he's turning to his servants, but he knows that everybody's got this, you know, everybody's enamored by David. What are you so enamored by David for? What do you think? He's going to give you things. Do you think he's going to give you sados and krumim? L'kulchem yasim sarei alafim v'sarei meos. What does everybody think? Everybody thinks that David's going to make them an officer? He's going to make them an officer over the hundreds, officer over the thousands? He doesn't even have enough fields to give everyone, right? What do you think? The Malbim says, why do many people connect with people in power? Because they, for selfish reasons, they want things. That's what Shaul's saying. You know, everybody wants to connect to David. Why? He's not going to give you anything. You think he's going to give you a position? You think he's going to give you a field? And says the Malbim, that's also why he says B'nai Yemini. Because he's saying to them, listen, who's David? Even if David's going to take care of people, he's going to give people, you know, fields and krumim and positions of power. He's going to do it to people in his Shevet. Shevet Yehuda, he's not going to do it to the people from Shevet Binyamin. So all you guys, you might as well stick with me. Because David's not going to give you anything. You're from Shevet Binyamin. Even if he has fields and positions of power, you're not going to get any, right? He's going to give it to the people from his Shevet. And even the people that he gives it to, he's going to give it to a couple people. And then the rest of you guys are going to be poor slaves. So what's everybody running to David for? He's trying to convince them to stick around. Pasuk Ches. Ki kashartem kulchem olai. He says, you guys are all rebelling against me. You know, this is also a little bit of his paranoia, maybe. You know, you guys are all rebelling against me. Kishartim, the Mefarshim say, they're all tying knots. You know, they're all in cahoots together. You know, you're all rebelling against me. The ein gola es ozni bichras bini im ben Yishai. How come nobody told me that my son made a covenant with ben Yishai? Again, referring to him in a derogatory way. Right? We know Yonasan and David made this covenant, made this bris. How come nobody told me? You call yourselves faithful avodim, faithful servants? How come you don't tell me what's going on? Ve'in chola mikem olai. None of you is sick over me. Meaning, if I'm in tsar, if I'm in pain, someone's rebelling against me, you should be sick over it. Right? You should feel my pain. No, nobody's feeling my pain. Ve'goles ozni. No one's telling me what's going on. Not only did my son make a covenant with David, but my son is empowering David. He's empowering him to ambush me. He's empowering him to fight against me. What's going on? How come you don't tell me these things?
Hundred percent.
Of course. I mean, this is not a valid time. This is not a valid claim. But he's angry. He's just angry. He's frustrated, and he's taking it out on them. You know, the Mitzudas David says, "What is he saying? Had you told me, right? Had you told me about this? Had you told me originally, I would have made sure there was no bris between my son and David. I would have made sure, right? But you didn't tell me that. Had you told me about the bris, I would have made sure that they wouldn't come and gotten this big army, huh?" We don't know. Word travels. We don't really know. The Malbim also says that, you know, because you look at the Pasuk, it's almost like a double language. V'ingoles ozni bichras b'ni im ben Yishai. And then it says again, v'ingoles ozni ki heikim b'ni es avdi olag la'orim. What's a double language, says the Malbim? So the Malbim explains that he's saying, had you notified me right away, as soon as they made the bris, as soon as they made the covenant, right? So, you know, I would have taken care of it. But maybe you'll say, you know what? We didn't realize what was going to happen. We didn't realize it was a rebellion. We just thought they were being friendly. Fine. But once you see it's a rebellion, you see it's a rebellion now. Right? As he says at the end, you see it's a rebellion. He's gathering 400 men. It's not a rebellion. Of course it's a rebellion. Right? So now you see it's a rebellion. Tell me. I have to find out from some other source that you guys gotta keep me informed here. Now we're reintroduced to a character from last parak. Vayan Doeg HaAdomi. Remember Doeg HaAdomi? Doeg HaAdomi was overhearing the conversation in Nov with Achimelech and the Kohanim. Vayan Doeg HaAdomi. So Doeg HaAdomi speaks up. V'hu nitzav al avdei shol. Now Doeg HaAdomi was, some of the Mefarshim understand, the nitzav here doesn't just mean he was standing with them. Some of Farshim say, Mitzvah Tzavit said he was standing with them. But the Radak and the Mitzvah Dov and the Malbim say, no, no, no. Who Nitzav means he was in charge. Domi Gad Domi was his chief of staff. He was the head of all the Avadim of Shaul. What does he tell him? Vayomer. Vayomar, I'm sorry. What? Right, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It's a good point. I don't know. Vayomar, and he says, Ra'isiyas ben Yishai, Bonovel Achimelech ben Achituv. And he starts telling him the story. I was there. I witnessed Ben Yishai coming and speaking to Achimelech ben Achituv. Now, the Malbim says that you see from this pasuk already that Doeg here has a sinister plan. He's going to throw all of the Kohanim, Achimelech, and all of the Kohanim of Nov right under the bus. And we know what ends up happening. Shaul's going to kill them. Sorry to spoil the ending. But, right? Yeah. Spoiler alert. But, Also, I feel like everybody knows that he kills the Kohanim of Nov Yira Kohanim. It's a famous story that he kills them. Okay, anyway. But, so Doeg is starting to plant the seeds. He's telling on them. He's ratting them out, so to speak. But he's changing the story. He's changing the story to make it look like Achimelech and the Kohanim were at fault. In reality, they did nothing wrong, right? If you remember, David came to them. They didn't do what did they do wrong? They didn't do anything wrong. They weren't in cahoots with David, right? They weren't trying to help him in some sort of sinister plan or rebellion. But Doeg is going to paint this story to make Achimelech and the Kohanim accomplices in this rebellion. They're aiding and abetting. They're helping David in his rebellion of the king. Exactly. In reality, they did nothing. They gave him a sword. But listen to what he says. Okay? Now, says the Malbim, had Doeg told the story the way it actually happened, they would not have seemed guilty of anything. They weren't guilty of anything. But Doeg changes different details in the story to make it look like they did something wrong. They were complicit with this rebellion. So he says, number one, what does he say? That he came to Nov, Elachimelech ben Achituv. It doesn't mention that he was a Kohen, right? Doesn't mention he was a Kohen. Says the Malbim, he's already planting the seeds. He didn't come, David didn't come to Achimelech because he was a Kohen. He came to Achimelech just because he was ben Achituv, his family, meaning they were in cahoots. This was a family affair. This was something that Achimelech and David had, some sort of a plan together. That's why they came together. It wasn't because he was a Kohen. In reality, it was because he was a Kohen. Right? Remember, David came. They consulted the Urim and Tumim. That's really what happened. In reality, David came. What really happened, says the Malbim? David came to the Beis Hashem. He said he was sick and hungry. Remember? Right? David said he was sick and hungry. He told Achimelech. He made up a story, remember? He told Achimelech that he was sent by Shaul. He was on the king's business. This was a mission from the king. He said, it's very hush-hush. Nobody can know that I'm here. Remember the story? He did, right? He asked for a regular sword. Achimelech did nothing wrong. He gave him bread because the guy was starving. He was sick. Okay? The only sword that was there was the sword of Goliath. So that's what he gave him. He didn't do anything wrong, right? But now he's planting all of these things here that, no, he was in cahoots with him. He was with the rebellion with him. Pasuk Yud. Vayishalo Hashem. Right away, they asked Hashem. They asked the Urim V'Tumim right away. He consulted the Urim V'Tumim. He did, but listen to this. V'tzeida nasan lo, and he gave him food. Right? Tzeida, he gave him food. V'escherev Goliath aplishti nasan lo, and he gave him the sword of Goliath. Now, says the Malbim, it's very important to look at the details and how Doeg is telling this story. Number one, he starts off, Ayishalo v'Hashem. Says the Malbim, that's not what happened. They didn't ask the Urim V'Tumim first. First, David said, I'm sick and starving. And he gave him food. Then later, they asked the Urim V'Tumim. When you say first, Vayishalo b'Hashem, it sounds like, what was the whole purpose of this meeting? To get to know, where should I run? Right? I'm running away from the king. Where should I run? I need your help. I'm fleeing the king. Where should I run? I need your help. Let's ask the Urim V'Tumim. That was the first thing he did. That wasn't the first thing he did, says the Malbim. But that's how Doeg is painting this picture. And then what does it say? V'tzeida nasan lo. What is tzeida? Tzeida sounds like tzeida laderech. He was giving him provisions. Says the Malbim, he wasn't giving him provisions. David was starving. David was sick with hunger. Right? We said it was sakanas nefashos. Remember, we talked last parak. It was sakanas nefashos. He gave him the lechem upon him. It was the whole thing. It was sakana. Not one word about David being starving. Not one word about David being sick. Not one word about the fact that it was a lechem upon him and he only gave it to him, according to those mefarshim that say it was a lechem upon him. He only gave it to him because, you know, because he was sick and starving, right? Not one word about that. Nope. Vayitin lo tzeda, v'tzeda nasan lo. He gave him provisions. Sounds like, again, he was helping him. He was helping him in his rebellion. He was helping him to flee. V'escherev Goliath aplishti nasan lo. And he gave him the cherev of Goliath. Says the Malbim, gave him the cherev of Goliath. David HaMelech didn't ask for the cherev of Goliath. David asked for a sword, right? He needed, you know, he's on the run. He needs a sword. He just asked him for a sword. The only sword that was there was the sword of Goliath. So that's not what Doeg says. It sounds like he was asking him for the sword of Goliath. Asking for the sword of Goliath, that sounds like, that's again, you're part of the rebellion. You're an accomplice. You're helping out. So Doeg is painting this whole picture here that Ahimelech, and of course you throw all the Kohanim, you know, under the bus with Ahimelech, they're all trying to help him out. They're all trying to help David. No mention of the fact that David said he was on the king's mission. No mention of the fact that David told Ahimelech to keep this hush-hush. Again, had he told the story the way it happened, Ahimelech would be 100% innocent, because he was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. He was helping out a guy who was desperate. No, Doeg paints the picture that Ahimelech was complicit. Ahimelech was an accomplice. Ahimelech is just as much a rebel, just as much a Mori B'malchus as David. Oive. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayishlach HaMelech Likro Es Ahimelech Ben Achituv HaKohen Ve'es Kobei Soviv HaKohanim Asher Benov. So Shaul's furious. And he calls Ahimelech, he summons him, and he says, get over here, I want to talk to you, bring your whole family. Vayavo'u Kulam El HaMelech, and they all come to the king. Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayomer Shaul, and Shaul says to him, Shema No Ben Achituv. Listen up, Ben Achituv. Again, only referring to him by his last name. Derogatory. Disgracing him, not even calling him by his first name. Yomer Hinini Adoni. So Ahimelech says, okay, I'm here. You know, how can I help you? The Malbim says also that he's throwing his father into the mix here. Ben Achitu, your father also is an accomplice in this whole rebellion. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Elov Shaul. And Shaul says to him, Loma Kishartim Olai. The same language you had earlier, Kishartim, right? Why did you tie a knot with David? Meaning, why are you complicit with David? Why are you rebellious with David? You're making some sort of a covenant with him, a treaty with him? Ato Ben Yishai, right? You and Ben Yishai, again, referring to David in a derogatory way. Besitcha lo lechem v'cherev, right? You're giving him bread, you're giving him a sword, supporting him in his evil plan to overthrow me. B'sha'olo be'lokim. And you're asking the Urim V'Tumim how he can ambush me today. That's your question. What kind of business is this? Right? And Rashi, the Mefarshim, point out here also, you're asking the Urim V'Tumim. Now, if I went to the Mishkan and I said to the Kohen, you know, do me a favor. You know, I'm curious, you know, what investment to make. Do you mind asking the Urim V'Tumim, you know, if I should invest in Tesla? If I should invest in Bitcoin, right? You can't just ask the Urim V'Tumim whatever you want. It's not like a fortune teller. You just go up and, you know, and ask the Urim V'Tumim. Says Rashi, who asks the Urim V'Tumim things? A king. The Melech can come and ask the Kohen to consult the Urim V'Tumim about some sort of matter that relates to the country, to the nation. The Radak says also, you know, maybe the Av Beis Din can come, right? The Chief Justice. The Av Beis Din can come and ask the Urim, you know, and ask the Kohen to ask the Urim V'Tumim something. Someone who has a need for the whole Tzibur can come and ask the Urim V'Tumim. So Shaul is saying, you're asking David, you're asking the Urim V'Tumim something on the behalf of David? Who's David? He's not the king. He's not the Av Beis Din. He's not someone who's in charge of the whole Tzibur. You're asking the Urim V'Tumim for David? That means you're treating David like a king. You're treating David like a king. You're a Mord B'Malchus. You're rebelling against me. I'm the king. Not David. Who are you? What are you doing? You're giving him food? Besitcha lo lechem, says the Mitzvah. Why are you giving him food? To make him stronger so that he can ambush me? To give him strength so that he and his men can ambush me? That's what you're doing? So Ahimelech defends himself. And Ahimelech says, Vayan Ahimelech es hamelech, vayomar. He He says, "Umi v'chol avadecha k'David ne'eman achasan amelach." He says, "What do you mean?" He said, "David, David. First of all, he's your son-in-law, right? He's your son-in-law. That's why we wanted to take care of him. Not only is he your son-in-law, but he's one of your wonderful avadim. Umi b'chol avadecha k'David ne'eman, right? Who is more faithful than David? He's a faithful servant to yours. V'sorel mishmatecha v'nichbar b'veisecha. He's honored in your home. He always listens to you." And he defends himself here. Hayom achilosi lisha lo be'lokim chalilali al yosem amelach be'avdo davar b'chol beis avi ki lo yada avdecha b'chol zos davar katan o gadol. And he says, I asked him a question. I asked just to help him out. I thought he was doing it again. He told me he was on a mission from the king, right? I wasn't just doing it for him. And please don't think we did anything wrong. I didn't do anything wrong. My family didn't do anything wrong. I had no clue what was going on. I didn't know anything. I'm very simple here. Says Shaul, you're chayv misa. You're rebelling. I'm not buying your excuses, right? I'm believing what Doeg said, not buying your excuses, and you're chayv misa. And he tells them, Pasuk Yitzan, with this we'll finish. We'll finish the Perek Emir Tzashem next week. Yomar HaMelech LaRotzim HaNitzavim HaLov Sobu V'Hamisu Kohanei Hashem. He says to those, the young men that are running, that are his servants, go and kill all the Kohanei Hashem. Ki Gam Yodam Im David. They're all accomplices with David. They're all rebelling with David. V'Chi Yodu Ki Voreachu. They knew that he was running away from me. They knew that he was fleeing and they helped him. V'lo galu es ozni, and they didn't tell me what was going on. V'lo avu avdei amelach lishloach es yodim lifka b'chohanei Hashem. But they didn't want to. The avdei amelach didn't want to do it. And eventually, what does he do? Oh, do one more pasuk, and then v'yomer pasuk yurches, v'yomer amelach ledoeg, sovato ufega b'chohanim. Right? So, you know, the avadim didn't want to do it. So he turns to Doeg and he says, you do it. You do it. Now, Doeg is good for nothing. He's a good for nothing. He's the one who threw them under the bus to begin with. So Doeg has no problem. Vayisov Doeg ha'adomi vayifka hu ba'kohanim vayomes vayomahu shmonim v'chamisha ish no say eifod bad. So Doeg turns and he kills 85 kohanim of Nov. Achimelech, his whole family, kills 85 kohanim. Okay. We'll finish the Perek Emetz Hashem next week. I don't want to rush it. And we'll see what happens with the rest of Nov Ira Kohanim. And then we'll probably, it's only a few more psukim, we'll probably finish, we'll probably begin the next parak the following week as well. Okay. Okay, everyone. Thank you very much for joining.
Thank you, Rabbi.